Hi, welcome to another edition of the 19th Hole Golf Show. I'm Ryan Belanger. Good to have you here with us. After a little break, we are back and ready for the Open Championship. You can get a hold of me by email, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. Get a hold of me on Twitter, @RyanBelanger. You can get a hold of Golf News Net on your favorite social media service at the handle Golf News Net. And you can check us out on Roku and Amazon Fire TVs. We're still working on sprucing that up a little bit, getting a little bit nicer for you, producing more video content like we said we would do at the beginning of the year, right? This week on the show, we are presented by our friends at 2Under, and they are the makers of tremendous golf performance wear, particularly underwear that's going to help you stay dry and more comfortable on the golf course. Their famous Joey pouch keeps your boys where they need to be, away from your body, away from all that sweat your body produces when you play golf, keeps you nice and dry, walking with confidence from the start of the round to the end of the round. And then, when you're done with your round of golf, wearing your 2Under, you can take that confidence wherever you need to go. And you can also have 2Under underwear for your gym life, for your office life, for your nightlife. And you can check those all out at 2Under.com, the number 2UNDR.com. If you use the promo code GNN20, you're going to save 20% on your order no matter what it is. In addition to their great underwear, they have loungewear, which is fantastic. They have awesome socks, and they actually have some other performance stuff that's outside the boundaries of clothes, and they also have some bags and gear that's also really, really nice. So head over to 2under.com and check them out. Also, in our last show, we talked with Scott Tomasello from the folks at the Myrtle Beach World Amateur Handicap Championship, the playmyrtlebeach.com World Am this year. There's still time to sign up. It is getting close to the deadline, but there is still a little bit of time. If you head to thegolfnewsnet.com/worldam, you can save $100 on our package over their advertised rate over at the World Am's website, which is a nice deal. And you can also get yourself a hotel hookup, which is really cool as well. All right, I wanted to talk about two different things that I experienced last week while I wasn't doing the show. For the first time in my life, I went to Indiana. Actually, for the first time in my life, I first went to Kentucky, flew into Louisville, got a little quick tour around the city courtesy of my Uber driver, Richard. Shout out, buddy. And then we took the Uber from his Ford Freestyle, which was very nice, through Corn Country into Indiana and drove a total of probably about 90 minutes, if you didn't count the traffic that we had to deal with, into first West Baden, Indiana, and then very shortly thereafter, like literally a half mile thereafter, French Lick, Indiana, which is not only the hometown birthplace of Larry Bird, where I saw a bust of him, a statue, his high school, his parents' house, a restaurant with all kinds of memorabilia of his called 33 Brick, which was very nice, but also the French Lick Resort. And French Lick, in really the last decade, very akin to what has happened at Greenbrier, almost simultaneously, interestingly enough, is a family got involved, wealthy family in the Indy area, the Cook family, who they make medical devices, one of the largest medical device makers in the entire world, and they're privately held. And kind of similar to what Jim Justice did, who Jim Justice is now the governor of West Virginia, but at the time had just made billions of dollars, as a coal magnate in West Virginia. And both of them kind of came upon the basically distressed properties of tremendous potential value in the Greenbrier in West Virginia and the French Lick Resort and West Baden Resort in this part of Indiana, southern Indiana. And so the Cook family got involved. It's said that Larry Bird kind of has a small piece of this. I don't know how much of that is, but they got involved around 2007, 2008. They bought the place. They committed to renovating it. They added on to it. They added a casino. They got one of the last casino license remaining in the state of Indiana. Imagine that. And they added to the property a convention center as well. And so it's been modernized a little bit. All the rooms have been updated. They're beautiful. They're gorgeous. I mean, it's an immaculate setting. And they did the same thing over at West Baden, which is just across the way. Now, West Baden is a little bit more fancy than French Lick is. But you don't have to wear a coat at night like you do at Greenbrier. Not that level of fancy, but nicer, more upscale, a little bit more quiet. French Lick, a little bit more for families, has all kinds of things to do during the day. And then at night, the casino, which isn't that big, but it's solid. I mean, it's a solid, small resort casino with a nice little high-limit room. The high-limit room is actually really nice. Very underappreciated. And it was only $25 to get in there on a blackjack. If you're playing $25 blackjack, you get in the high-limit room. That was pretty sweet. Not free drinks, but, you know, you were getting G&Ts for $3.50, which is very, very good. And they were nicely poured. But anyhow, the other thing to do at French Lick in West Baden is play golf. And that's what they kind of wanted to make this property known for, in part make it a magnet for it when the Cook family got involved. So there were two courses on the property already, kind of a hodgepodge design, nine-hole golf course, right next to French Lick, kind of weaved around a little bit. And then just down the street a little is the Donald Ross course, which hosted the, I believe, 1924 PGA Championship, back when it was a match play affair. And that's been home for going back to last year. So this was the second year for the Donald Ross Classic at French Lick. And the Symetra Tour, which is the LPGA equivalent of the Web.com Tour, rolled into town. It was freaking hot. I mean, the day we played in the Pro-Am, it had to have been 95 degrees. If it weren't, I'm shocked. But it was at least 90 degrees each day. And I mean, just perfect summer weather. Just a little glisten on the skin. Not very humid at all, but you knew it was hot. You knew it was summertime. And so the trip was organized by a buddy of mine who works in the media and PR space. Kevin Frisch is a great friend. And then Brendan Sweeney, who does the PR and the marketing for the resort. And they kind of combined on this, along with the Symetra Tour, to put together this trip for some media. And some media played when they came in. So I came in on Monday evening. And then on Tuesday and Thursday, we played the other course at the Ross, the other course at French Lick, which is the Pete Dye course. That Pete Dye course hosted the Senior LPGA Championship, the inaugural, last year. And then it's hosted the Senior PGA Championship. It's hosted a number of Big Ten collegiate golf championships. It's trying to become the championship course of really one of the championship courses of record of the Midwest. And in part, that's because Pete Dye had such an amazing plot of land, such a huge plot of land. It was really the former home to one of the original owners of the French Lick Resort. It was like his city on top of a hill. It was his mansion. Just an incredible thing. You can rent out for $10,000 a night. There's like four bedrooms. I mean, they're just perfectly apportioned. They're unbelievable. And it's a private space. But the more key thing for holding modern tournaments and modern major championships is that you could stretch it out to 8,102 yards. Now, that sounds absurd. It is. I did not play either time from 8,102. I played both times from about 6,253. And the golf course played a little bit more than that, actually, because of all the peaks and valleys that you go through. But we played the Dye course as kind of bookends to the trip. I shot 74 the first day with a birdie at the last to shoot one under in the back. Then on the third day, I honestly don't know what I shot. If I had to guess, I'd say like 85 to 87. I had every bad break humanly possible on that side. I mean, it was bad. I lipped out 10, maybe 11 putts, depending on how generous you want to be. Lips. Not like, oh, I just ran by the cup. Lipped out. Like, it hit it and didn't go in. I've never had a round like that in my life. Maybe one even close to that. And after a while, the caddy kind of realized it's not going to be my day. Probably before I realized that. And the crowning moment for me when I knew the day was done was to come to the eighth hole. We've just played a par five. I've made bogey there. I'm stuck on the bogey train. I've hit good drives. I've hit some good shots. Obviously good putts. Can't put them together. They're just not jibing. We get to the par three, eighth hole. Pins to the right, tucked front right. And he shoots one, I think, 53. So maybe a little downwind, but not really. A little uphill. Not much. Get up there, smoke it. It looks great in the air. The cart girl is right there, and like a resort employee or course employee, I think one of the pros, was there. And they're like, oh, that's a stripe show today. I'm like, yeah, that's right. And it lands about 3.5 feet from the hole. I'm like, all right, this is going to be great. Kickstart a birdie. I'm going to birdie 9, 10's a short, 111 short. All of a sudden, I'm back in this round. Like, a round in the 70s is possible. And what does the ball do? It stops, which is fine, until it starts rolling and rolling and rolls off the green front right into a horrible lie where I cannot make par. Oh, my God. That was the moment I knew it was not going to be my day. It just was not going to happen. So, played the rest of the way. I had a great time. I mean, the Nye course is tough. It's really tough. It's visually intimidating. The playing areas are wider than you think, but they feel really small. The effective playing areas feel really small. They're probably not, to be honest with you. I mean, there's plenty of cut, reasonable rough to go around. You can play from it all day, but it's a little sticky, and the shots are demanding. I mean, the greens are not that big. They get bigger on the back nine in spots, but then there's a green number 15 that's like 25 deep and 13 wide. And you're like, hell the hell am I going to hit this thing on a 360-yard hole? So it's definitely challenging. You kind of have to trust Pete. You have to trust your caddy on a lot of shots, especially tee shots. And you could still score very well there. I mean, obviously I had a good round. And that I left a bunch out there on the day I shot 74, I felt like. I probably left way more out there the day I shot 85 or 87. But still, you could have a good round there. You didn't have to be perfect. I mean, it was intimidating, but you could get around and not get too beat up. The Ross course is obviously a throwback. So the course, the day we played it, Wednesday for the Pro-Am day, we played about 5,900 yards. And to me, that's a green light to hit driver on every hole because I love hitting driver. So I want to hit driver. So it's a scramble format. It's myself, Kevin Frisch, Dave Holland, and Eric Matuszewski from, you've probably seen his work at Forbes. He works for the National Golf Foundation as his day-to-day thing. But you can see him a lot of places. Good writer, very good guy. And we played together on Tuesday without Kevin. We had the Pro-Am pairing party on Tuesday night. I haven't done one of these in like 7 years when I did a Champions Tour Pro-Am. Similar deal. Media trip, get in an event, Pro-Am, have some fun, play some other golf. So we get in the room, and I've already had the good fortune to meet Shannon Fish and Janie Jackson. They're folks who play on the Symetra Tour. You probably know Shannon Fish from her stints on Big Break, and she could not have been nicer. Just such a nice person. We played some blackjack, had a good time on Tuesday night because we were introduced by Steve Elkington, who of Secret Golf fame, and he could not have been more helpful in making that happen. Then we happened. So we were, quick, brief, kind of funny story. So I went down to find something to eat for dinner because I was waiting for Dave and Eric to come in. They said they were going to come in kind of late. I was like, all right, whatever. I'll go grab something. So I go down the list of restaurants, and there's something called Power Plant. I was like, okay, it sounds like a bar with some bar food. That's kind of what I need right now. I don't need anything fancy. So I go down there, walk in, getting texts from Elk like, hey, here's how to get a hold of Shannon. And then he started a text thread. And I order a beer, sitting down, looking at the menu. I'm texting back and forth to Shannon, like, hey, I'm here at the resort. I don't know if I'll meet you before the Pro-Am thing tomorrow, but you know, if you're around, if you got nothing better to do, and you could say hi, that's great. She was right next to me. She picked up the phone like 2 seconds after I sent a text message. She answers back. Comes back, lights up, I'm looking at him like, okay, this is just far too coincidental. I've never met Shannon in person. I'm like, are you Shannon? She's like, why? Like, I'm Ryan, and we had a great laugh about it. Awesome person. Had an absolute blast with her, but was not paired with her for the Pro-Am. So we were paired with Elizabeth Zokel, and Elizabeth went to the University of Virginia around the same time as Denny McCarthy, a little bit younger, but the same time as Denny McCarthy, who plays out of our club, and she knows him, and she did very well there for herself and then turned pro. And last year, she almost got to the LPGA from the Symetra Tour. Just missed out on the money list. Then she won basically her first tournament of the year this year after skipping the initial opener. So she's been at the top or near the top of the money list the entire season. Don't really know anything about her. And we get on the first tee or get to the carts before the shotgun. And she comes over, introduces herself, could not have been nicer. She's not like me in the regard where I'm like, all right, let's get partying. Let's have a good time. I don't care what the score is. Let's just have a fun day and hit some shots. And we go on the first tee. We start at 18. It's about 390. And I was kind of nervous. I mean, I don't get nervous playing golf. I haven't in a long time, not since high school. Because by the time I got to college, I realized I wasn't going to be a professional, and I didn't play that much competitively, so what did it matter? And I'm playing with buddies. Even if it's for money, it's still their friends. You know, it's a different feeling. But there were some nerves involved. I hit a good drive. We used my drive a bunch throughout the day, and I hit some really good shots. I hit a second shot to about 7 feet for eagle on a par five, and then the next hole nearly jarred the approach for an eagle on a par four. On a kind of shot that needed to be hit in a little bit lower. We had a really good time, so we didn't win. We shot 11 under 59. We played as a par 70, even though I think they played as a par 71 for the Symetra Tour event. They added a par 5 in there somewhere. And we lost by 2 to Sweeney's group. Of course he did. Of course he won. Of course he did. But we had a lot of fun doing that, and it was really nice to meet Elizabeth. I enjoyed doing events like this. I enjoyed doing fam trips, for one. I don't get to do many of them because I have young kids, and I don't really want to leave them for very long. Maybe a day here or there, of course. If you have young kids, you know that, or if you've done it, you know what I mean. But I do like to cover smaller tournaments. I like PGA Tour events. The PGA Tour staff is very nice. They're very accommodating. But I would rather cover events that not as many people are on. You know, there aren't as many reporters, or if there are any, at a Symetra Tour event. And to get to see basically the future, the potential future of the LPGA grinding out on a relatively small practice putting green. I mean, it's an old golf course. It's an old facility. It's not like it's a huge putting facility all over the place, you know, a sprawling 20,000 square foot green or whatever. It's not like that. So it's the proving ground. It's your multi-year internship to figure out if you can do it. And if you can't, then you go get a different job. But if you can, then you go to the LPGA. And I think Elizabeth is on her way to heading there. She just needs a couple more good finishes to absolutely lock it up. But you'll be seeing Elizabeth Zogel probably next year on the LPGA Tour. And hopefully get to see her back before she becomes a world-beating LPGA winner. But she was very, very nice to play with, and we had a really good time. So then on Wednesday we play... or excuse me, Thursday, we play Die Again, and it's time to go. So I went with Eric and Dave up to Indianapolis. I did not have a flight there, but I wanted to rent a car there so I could go to Chicago for the U.S. Senior Women's Open. And I got the rental, surprisingly good price, a little off-site, but because I was going one way with it, I didn't want to get slammed with charges, so we didn't have to do that, but... got the rental. It was a very nice little Ford Fusion. Nice little hybrid. Never driven a hybrid more than like 10 miles before, so that was cool. I called up a buddy of mine. Well, I called my father-in-law first. Hey, do you have George the Gardener's number? And George the Gardener, LeBrandy, we call him the Gardener. He's not a gardener. He's a doctor. But he lives somewhere near the Illinois border in Indiana. And I knew it was pretty much a straight shot north and a little west. I was like, I think he lives up that way. I got to get a hold of him. I told him in March, I'm coming up for this thing. I'm going to call you, and we're going to go out. And I couldn't get his number. I didn't have his phone number, just his email address. And my father-in-law didn't have his phone number. I texted one of his friends who comes on the trip, who's my in-law, Mark. Mark didn't get back to me right away, so I was like, I'm going to email him. Email him. 15 minutes on the road, he calls. Like, hey. We can get together. Let's do it. So I stopped off in Valparaiso, Indiana, home to Bryce and Larry Drew, although Bryce now coaches at, I believe, Vanderbilt. So he's not in his house. But so we went out and had an absolute blast hitting up Valpo. Valpo's a fun town. I mean, it's a college town, obviously. But lots of different bars, lots of different up-and-coming breweries in the area between Indiana and Illinois. Really, really good stuff. Had some of the best cider I've ever had. I'm not a cider guy. Love the cider. There was a cider called Haboob with hops in it. Oh my God, it was unbelievable. And had an awesome, awesome time there. Stayed in the best Best Western I'm ever going to stay in. Got up the next morning, was like, all right, not hungover, great, let's go to Chicago. So drove over to Chicago for the U.S. Senior Women's Open. And I knew I could only be there 5 to 6 hours before my flight came back. But I wanted to make sure I saw this tournament. Because when the USGA announced it a couple of years ago that this was going to happen, but now, basically last year they announced it was going to happen. I've written a number of pieces over the years or done podcasts like this where like, there needs to be a Senior Women's Open. We got one for men. Why can't we have one for women? This is goofballs. And they finally agreed to do it. And they agreed to do it with Chicago Golf Club, which is one of the original founding clubs of the USGA. It is the site or club that had the first 18-hole golf course in the United States. And it's an original C.B. McDonald, but Seth Rayner came in and redid some holes. And it's just a stunner. And so I wanted to see that in person, and I wanted to see this first tournament in person. I'm so glad that I went. Next year, it's at Pine Needles in North Carolina. If you can go, go. And there are a variety of reasons why. But first, the fan experience is the best. And I hope they maintain this going forward, even as they go to maybe more larger, more accommodating in terms of size venues. But there wasn't enough space to really just have ropes all around the fairways at Chicago Golf Club. You had to kind of work your way around. So they let fans walk in the fairways or the rough, but just a respectful distance behind the players. And they were great. They were awesome. I could not have been happier walking inside the ropes, for one. I mean, that's always fun. But two, just following the ladies who are having a great time. They're just happy to have this tournament, that they finally had it. It took them probably 30 years to get it, but they were happy to have it. And Nancy Lopez, because she has a two bum knees. She had a surgery on one. She's going to have a replacement on the other. Hope to be back for next year. But she wanted to be involved. So she was the honorary first tee starter, which I thought was awesome. Super cool. It was really neat to see her up there. And then you have, obviously, Joanne Carner, who played with Hollis Stacey and Sandra Palmer. So between them, they have, what, like 5 or 6 U.S. Women's Opens. A ton of USGA championships. They were kind of the marquee group. And Joanne Carner is 79 years old. She had not walked a golf course. Now, she played golf, but had not walked a golf course in 14 years. So she had to get her sea legs under her during the practice rounds. She had 3 practice rounds walking, which she hadn't done, again, in a decade and a half. And then she shot her age on the par 73 course on Thursday. She was within sniffing of the cut. That's unfreaking believable. And it was really cool to watch the scene on 10 the next day. So I'm there on Friday. Watch her try to make the cut. And the applause that she got on Thursday or Friday was awesome. I didn't see her whole round. I saw 2 or 3 holes of that round. I followed a friend from Twitter and now real-life friend, Jane Crafter, who has won plenty of tournaments in her life. And she's super good as a broadcaster. I've always enjoyed her work. Finally got to meet her in person during the round. Like, she made a birdie on 3. And she's like, she said something to me like, hey, that was pretty good, right? And I was like, Jane, I'm Ryan. She's like, oh, my God, I thought it was you. And hugged and said hi. And just, it was such a cool atmosphere. I watched her for 9 holes before I had to leave. She absolutely smoked every shot, except I think 1. And she still recovered from that. Played 3 under on a really tough golf course. I mean, they played at 6,300 yards, 6,200 yards. And for senior ladies, that's plenty. That's plenty of yards. Because especially in Chicago, where all the cross bunkers, all the strategic mounding, all that stuff kind of came into play at their drive zone. A guy would just blast, you know, a professional dude would just blast it over everything. But this was strategic golf at its finest. And Laura Davies was smoking it throughout the entire weekend. The course hadn't given up a sub-60 rounds, so 4 under or better, until Laura Davies packed him in on the weekend, and she won by 10. Part of me thinks, okay, well, maybe she should get in the LPGA Hall of Fame now. She's in the World Golf Hall of Fame. The LPGA Hall of Fame is different and separate. It's all points-based on the number of wins, particularly majors or other special trophies, like the Vera Trophy, that you get. But it just... Still, regardless of what it means for her career, really cool that she was the first winner and that Julie Inkster was a part of it too. Hopefully she wins next year. that Trish Johnson was there, Rosie Jones was there, that you had multiple generations of players, multiple generations of greats there taking part in this. And in a few years, Annika will be eligible, Kari Webb will be eligible. There will be more good players that are available that I grew up watching, those legends that will be available to play. And I hope they do. I hope they take part of it. Beth Daniels, another one. I mean, keep going down the line. You want those players to be a part of it. I want to see Dottie Pepper play again. I know not every legend's going to take it up. Probably some were waiting to see how it went this year. But by and large, I think the reaction was great. Beth Ann Baldry, I always call her Beth Ann Baldry. Beth Ann Nichols, married name, had a great couple of nuggets in her stories from the week. She was really the only person that wasn't with the USGA writing there every day. Andy Johnson with the Fried Egg, who had a home game there, was also there, and great to see him too. But Beth Ann had two really good nuggets. I thought the key one was merchandise sales were more than double what they expected. They had access to the Chicago Golf Club Pro Shop. You could buy stuff with just the Chicago Golf Club logo, and then they had some stuff from the tournament just specially made for this inaugural edition. And that sold really well. Sold out. I mean, they crushed it. And that was very encouraging. And the other thing that I thought was very cool was they had to order, I think it was a one-third bump on printing materials for the weekend after Thursday and Friday went so well. I'm not saying this was like a 10,000-person-a-day affair, probably a couple thousand people a day, and then better on the weekends. But that was way more than they expected. And probably it was in part because of the first one, but also and who was playing there. But also, they did it right. They treated the fans well. They gave it a good feel. They respected the players. They had pomp and circumstance around it, but not so much so that it kind of took away from the golf. The golf was good. The course was obviously great. And I think that's the recipe moving forward. Give the fans a great experience. Encourage moms to bring their daughters and their sons to come watch golf together. Or it could be fathers. Bring your whole family. Susie Green Roebuck, who is the three-time Michigan women's PGA champion winner. No one's ever won it that many times. It was a really cool moment. I was walking the back nine before I turn around the afternoon and watch Jane on the front side. And she had just hit a drive on 12. It was a par 5. And she comes down, and her husband and her three kids are there just talking to her. Like, inside the ropes, like, how's everything going? Going really well. Said hi to neighbors and friends who were there. And then she took a picture with her son in the fairway. And I thought that was the coolest thing. She went from being kick-ass golfer to mom back to kick-ass golfer. And that's what the celebration was about. That, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of money involved. $1 million is a lot of money for a senior women's event. A lot of money. And so winning $180,000 for Laura Davies is nothing to sneeze at. I mean, it's substantial money. And making the cut was substantial. It was good money. But it was about celebrating golf. It's about celebrating that this championship finally existed. And that it's going to exist moving forward. And that it had a great first year will help cement the legacy of this tournament. Bigger names will continue to get involved from the present era, so to speak. And that'll continue to boost the profile of the event. And now the Legends Tour will have the ability to have two majors. They'll have the senior LPGA Championship, and they'll have this tournament, which will be played in May next year. Karen Stoepels called for it. I would love to see it too. Why have a senior women's British Open? What's wrong with that? You could take that so many places that are great golf courses in the United Kingdom, or you could bring it into Ireland even. I mean, whatever you want to do, but you can create that tournament and do some really special things with it and take it to places that you can't take the British Open. It would be fantastic. And so I hope that they do that. I hope that comes along. I hope that's the next thing that pops up. Because then if you have three senior women's majors, you don't need five like the Champions Tour. But if you have those three and you have them on TV and they're meaningful, then maybe the Legends Tour can also grow as well. Because they really only have like three other events. Maybe you get a 13-event schedule together and you have the Legends who can play and maybe not make a great living, but cash some checks and have some fun and see each other and entertain people. And when the U.S. Senior Open started, what was it, 1980 or so, there wasn't truly yet defined a PGA Tour champions. They just had the Legends of Golf in, 79, and it went really well, and they had the Senior Open, and then kind of the Senior PGA Tour was born. It's become what it is now, which is the best darn retirement plan that there is. And even it doesn't have to be that big, again, but if it could be a modest Legends Tour that's like 10, 12, 13 events, I think that's respectful to what these women have accomplished. It's respectful of their legacy. And I think people want to see them because there were a lot of people out there that had a good time watching golf at Chicago Golf Club. And I think that you could, if you do it right, you could build up those experiences and do a really nice schedule with some good, solid sponsors. Hell, even one big sponsor would probably go a long way in doing the Legends Tour. So I hope that comes along. I hope this isn't just like the pinnacle of the story. I hope there are more things to come because it was the most entertaining golf tournament I've covered in a long time. I'm going to do it next year, and I hope that some of you, if you're able to take a day or two, head down to the Pinehurst area. Go play Pinehurst. Go stay there. Go do Tobacco Road, whatever. But then go watch the tournament, and you're going to have a great time doing it. So that's going to do it for us this week on the show. Thanks for listening to me as I kind of go through the adventures of the last week or so, and hopefully it was enjoyable for you to listen to that. I hadn't dropped off already. Next week on the show, we will talk about the British Open Championship. Who's going to win the third major of the year? We may still try to fit in a preview podcast for that tomorrow or Wednesday, just on that. But if not, then it's going to have all the we'll have all the information on golfnewsnet.com about our picks. We got top 15 already. We've got a betting guide, betting odds. We're going to talk a little bit about some strategy options for players, and then we'll talk about our GNM Plus picks as well, which really delve into pricing and course form and all kinds of different things that we kind of model for and care about each and every week. And that's just $10 a year to get in the door on those recommended picks, those special picks each week. And then for just about $75 a year, then you can have access to all of our tools that are available that will help you make smarter decisions in fantasy, make smarter golf bets, and you'll just be a better informed golf fan. So head over to thegolfnewsnet.com and find out about that now. But until then, until I see you again, I'm Ryan Balaji saying thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time on the 19th Hole Golf Show.